Good morning, Charlottesville, and welcome to Real Estate Matters. I'm Michael Guthrie, and we're glad you're with us here on this Saturday morning. News Radio 1070 WINA. Also, you can be following us live at www.wina.com and click on Listen Live. And as I always remind you, if you find this show informative and want to listen to it again, which would be wonderful, or if you have folks who you think would be interested in the things that we're talking about, please feel free to send them to WINA.com, click on Podcasts, and then click on Real Estate Matters. And the previous shows are archived there. They're usually up Monday or Tuesday of the following week. You can also follow me on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Real Estate Matters or Twitter, MRG7175. All of those places, I try to let folks know what we're going to be talking about, let folks know what we did talk about, provide websites and other information that kind of correlates with the conversation. And I'm really grateful for the fact that so many of you are letting me know that the show means something to you, that you're actually finding yourself in front of a radio at 10 o'clock on Saturday mornings because you're interested in what we have to say. And as I've say on a fairly regular basis, the show is named Real Estate Matters because I think, again, there's so many different places that real estate touches you, whether it be, you know, tax rates or refinancing or reverse mortgages. And, oh, by the way, I think about reverse mortgages, and one of our sponsors is New American Mortgage. I was watching TV this morning and saw Henry Winkler, the Fonz, on the TV promoting reverse mortgages. And, you know, I just kind of saw that and went, wow, how about that? But Henry's a good guy, and I'm sure that the company that he's promoting does a really great job. But I'm going to tell you that reverse mortgages are complex, whether it be getting a refinancing the house that you're in so that you begin to enjoy the equity from a cash flow basis, or if you choose to buy a house if you're 62 or over with the reverse mortgage. There are a number of different things that you really need to know. You want to be educated to make sure that it's the best decision that you can make. And the New American Mortgage folks can help you with that. So when you listen to the ads today, either in the middle of the show or at the end, note down the number. And if you're interested in talking about reverse mortgages, you can call there. And several of the New American loan officers have a tremendous amount of experience as it relates to reverse mortgages. 62 or over. If you're not 62 yet, sorry. But if you're 62 and over, and some of us like myself are getting close to that, it's definitely something you want to take a look at, but I digress. Hey, I want to follow up on some things that we talked about last week, because I talked a lot about a lot of different things, and at the end I felt like I sort of got rushed and didn't finish up. But I would point you toward a Washington Post article. If you go to WashingtonPost.com, and search for Ken Harney. Ken last week had a really good piece in there about buying foreclosures and how that can prove costly. You know, there's so much talk about foreclosures and short sales out there in the marketplace, and everybody thinks that the foreclosure is going to give them the best deal that they can get. And I would tell you that sometimes that is the case, but there are a lot of things as it relates to foreclosures that that you want to be careful of, just in regards to the way the bank's going to handle it and how long it's going to take, the fact that the bank isn't going to warrant anything and may, you know, you're buying that house in as-is condition, whatever the case might be, you know, likely expenses that Ken talks about in regards to a foreclosure, and this comes from some information he got from Fulton Homes out of Phoenix, an estimated $1,063 in appliances, $2,125 in electrical upgrades, $3,613 in windows, $5,500 for floor and carpeting, $5,700 for cabinets, $1,900 in plumbing, $1,488 for drywall, $1,400 for roof, $683 for interior cleaning, and a long list of others. The bottom line is you never know what kind of costs are going to be involved in a foreclosure when you're talking about as is. And then you also need to be careful about possible legal fees that can be incurred in regards to getting a foreclosure and the way that the whole thing's set up. I'm not saying that they can't be good. They certainly can. I certainly would encourage you to, one, have a real estate professional helping you with that, And two, if for some reason a real estate professional can't be involved in a particular foreclosure because you're buying it at the courthouse steps or whatever, I would sit down with a real estate attorney, and we've got a lot of good ones here in Charlottesville. I would sit down with a real estate attorney and really understand what it is you're getting into before you step up to that courthouse and start bidding. Because as folks say, sometimes you don't want to pray for something because you may get it. The other thing I would say about foreclosures very quickly, and before we move on, is the fact that because there's so much on the market, because there's so much inventory, you have sellers out there that are motivated to sell. And because they're motivated to sell, you may get just as good a deal on a resale home and have things, have a home inspection, have a radon inspection, have all the different things that you should have to make sure it's the house that you want to live in and you want your family to live in, and pretty much at the same price as a foreclosure. That's not always going to be the case, but in many, many cases it can be. And so I would really encourage you to consider looking into resales first before you enter into the foreclosure thing, unless you're a very savvy investor. You're somebody that can do the work yourself. You really understand the market, so you know what's a good deal and what's not a good deal. I would be I'd be very careful as far as foreclosures are concerned. So anyway, just something that had jumped out at me over this last week, and I just wanted to kind of give you some tips on that. Hopefully that helps. If you have questions about it, don't hesitate to shout at me. You can email me at mguthrie@roywheeler.com. If you need suggestions as to who I would recommend as far as a real estate attorney, or if you need information for a loan officer as it relates to reverse mortgages or getting pre-qualified so that you know you can afford the foreclosure that you, you're going after, any of those kind of things, Phil, don't hesitate to email me at mguthrie@roywheeler.com. Hey, last week we talked about an article I'd seen in the USA Today talking about the fact that all the signs are pointing to the fact that this is a great time to buy, that anybody that has cash should be thinking about investing in real estate. And I really do agree with that. And a realtor friend of mine yesterday sent me an email. We were talking about a charity function that we're going to support. And he was talking about how January and February seem to be coming along, that that the months have been pretty good as far as activity and sales and that kind of thing. And he said maybe the market is finally picking up. And my response to my realtor friend was, I think we want to keep that maybe in quotation marks, because as you've heard on the show, there are a lot of different things that are going on that that could positively impact that or negatively impact that. And one of the things I began to talk about last week was the fact that what needs to happen in the marketplace is certainty. And that certainty being that a buyer knows that they're buying a property that they can afford, and that that's going to be a property that is going to hold its value, and that they're going to be able to live in for a good long while, and then at some point turn that thing around and sell it so that they can move on to something else or hold on to it and make it an investment property or whatever the case may be. That certainty as it relates to the seller, and, you know, is this a good time for me to sell my house, or should I be waiting, you know, a couple more years to see how all this stuff plays out? And I really think that this uncertainty, this not really knowing, is what's holding the market back. Everything else, if you read this article, if you go to Facebook.com and go to Real Estate Matters, you'll see this article posted there. And everything that's in this article talks about all the things that are in place for this to be a recovering housing market, low interest rates, housing affordability, lower prices, houses to choose from, builder inventory there. I mean, all the different things are there that should point us toward the fact that things are starting to go in the right direction. And I do think they are. A couple, 3 weeks ago, I talked about the green shoots that seem to be beginning to sprout up. And, we're certainly seeing that really and truly in nature right now with, 4 inches of snow or 9 inches of snow, depending on where you were. And yet daffodils blooming, and even saw something in the last day or so where it showed that buttercups were even seen to be blooming. So, you know, what season are we in? February usually means winter. As we relate that to real estate, you know, we've been in a winter market for way too long, probably as much as 6 years. And it does seem like some green shoots are beginning to sprout up. But we really need to establish and bring back certainty into the marketplace. So, before I go on and kind of get talking about this, I want to take a break and let you chat with the sponsors, chat with you. New American Mortgage, who I've already talked about today. INJ Builders, you know, great builder who, you can find a piece of land and they will help you, buy that piece of land and then help you build the kind of property that you want to build on it. And both of them, I'm grateful to have as sponsors. And, after they have a chance to introduce themselves to you, we'll be right back. Thank you very much. You're listening to Real Estate Matters on News Radio 1070. I'm Michael Guthrie. We'll see you after the break. Welcome back to Real Estate Matters. I'm Michael Guthrie. You're listening to News Radio 1070, WINA. You can also be following us live at WINA.com and click on Listen Live. We're glad you're here this morning. We've been talking a little bit about foreclosures this morning. We've been talking about the fact that the housing market seems to be gaining some steam. But what really needs to happen at this particular point is some certainty needs to be brought back into the marketplace. There was an executive summary that came out through the Mortgage Bankers Association just a little bit ago, and it's from a University of Michigan survey of consumer attitudes, which examines consumer attitudes toward home ownership before and after the financial crisis. And in particular, it measures the extent to which the recession has changed consumer sentiment toward home buying and selling. Let me just walk you through, because I think this will hopefully explain and you'll get a feel for what I'm talking about in regards to this certainty. Walk you through a few things that this particular summary talks about. Despite high employment, slow economic growth, and problems plaguing the economy, this summary says that almost 80% of the American households believe that now is a good time to buy a home. The other interesting statistic about this, and I mentioned it last week, is those 30 and younger, which are the folks who a lot of folks have been saying have no interest in home ownership. They're just going to rent. They don't really see any reason why they should have to buy a house. This particular summary showed that over 80% of folks, I think it was 35 and under, said now is the time to buy a house as well. So I think that's a real change in attitude, and I think bodes well for what's going on. Positive sentiment is strong, particularly among young, educated, white, and Hispanic households. And it's attributable to what I've already talked about this morning, low house prices and low mortgage interest rates. The pattern of home buying sentiment during this current recession looks similar to the pattern from past recessions. In fact, current positive home buying sentiment is around its long-run average level. So again, things are playing out just like they've done in the past. Real estate's a cyclical business. It does look like the signs are showing that we're coming out of this recession. And as long as things continue to go the way that they're going at this particular point, we can begin to experience housing recovery. What is different about the current recession is that the positive home selling sentiment is at a historic low. So all things are looking good, but up to this point, the home selling sentiment's an historic low. A lot of that, I believe, and this summary believes, that the sell side of the market is dominated by deeply negative sentiment. And what that means is it's strongly related to difficulty in finding buyers at desired sales prices, as well as the large overhang of mortgages past due or in foreclosure. And what that talks about, folks, is shadow inventory. There's so much on the market at this particular point, and there's so much that still is going to come on the market. And therefore, it causes people, one, to be discouraged about putting their house on the market, and two, it discourages people from actually buying a house because they think that they're going to be able to get it at a better price later or that something else will come on the market. I think this new mortgage reform that was passed in the last week or so will help with that because I think it's going to help some folks not have to put their houses on the market. And it's also going to allow lenders to get the houses on the market and hopefully get those sold so that we can get those out of the way. And the inventory can slowly but surely become balanced. But I think that's still a ways out. And another reason for that, and you've heard me say this on the show, is another aspect of shadow inventory are folks like you who are in your homes, and if the market gets better, you want to sell and either move up to a bigger house or downsize to a lower house or move into, you know, Rosewood Village or the Lodge or Independence or any of the, you know, independent living places that we have in Charlottesville, but you're waiting because you want to see the market sort of pick up. And as soon as you think it's picking up, that's when you're going to get back in the market. But the interesting thing about that is when you do that, you're not the only one thinking that. And so other people are going to be doing that same thing. And so I would encourage you to be out ahead of that. And if you have any interest in moving forward and getting your house on the market, I'd encourage you to get it on before everybody else does. You price it right, get it in the right condition, and get that thing taken care of so you can move on and not compete against a lot of other people that are feeling the same way that you are. Another thing that the executive summary says is over the last two decades, the value of mortgage purchase originations has tracked home selling sentiment more strongly than home buying sentiment. And so that's that whole refinance. People are tracking the mortgage side of it more than the home buying and, you know, refinancing again and adding something onto their houses. That's why you're seeing an uptick in regards to, you know, home improvements, because people are choosing just to stay where they are, refinance, take advantage of the low rate, but just hunker down and stay where they are because they don't feel certain that things are beginning to move forward. Favorable sentiment and real estate activity in the housing and mortgage markets will be weighed down significantly until the overhang of troubled mortgages is cleared out. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just makes total sense that until all this stuff that's happened in the last several years works its way out of the system, I don't care what incentive the government tries to put on or take away, those things are going to be the things that lead our market out of this. Once we can get through the mess and get those things taken care of, we'll begin to see a balance, and that's what's really going to ultimately allow us to see housing recovery. The last thing the executive summary says is over the next five quarters, positive home buying sentiment is forecast to remain around current and long-range average levels. So in other words, not going to, you know, we're hitting the bottom, we're bouncing along the bottom, as I've talked about before, but there's nothing that says that there's going to be a huge upswing. And especially in Central Virginia, folks, you know, in other places where values went down quickly, they bounced back up quickly. We've had our values go down 18, 20, 22% over the last 6 years in a very gradual way. And there's nothing that says to me that anything's going to change the other way around, that we'll come out of this just slowly but surely in a gradual fashion. And the reason that's important is for those of you that are thinking you're going to wait until your house is worth what it was worth in 2004, 2005, even into the beginning of 2006, I think you're going to be waiting a long time. And so if I'm right about that, you're better off finding the value, getting it priced right, in the right condition, and getting it sold so you can move on and do the things that you want to do with your life. Because I'm not feeling like 2 years from now there's going to be a real change. There might be a little bit of a change, a 2, 3, 4% change, but nothing significant that you want to kind of put everything on hold for a couple of years because you expect that there's going to be you're going to get that 18, 20, 22% equity back. I don't see that happening. Maybe in certain pockets it'll happen, but for the most part, we're in for a very slow but gradual recovery, just as we've been in this slow but gradual descent over the last 6 years. So, you know, the bottom line, in contrast, the positive home selling sentiment is forecast to remain around current and what are historically low levels. And this suggests that selling sentiment and hence market activity will continue to remain sluggish in the near term. And the way that I look at this as far as it being sluggish is that, you know, we'll feel like the market is really picking up. The agents will tell me that, you know, the new home and the open house traffic activity is going strong. And then all of a sudden, it'll be gone for a week or two. It'll just kind of drop off. And I really do think that this is something that we're just going to be dealing with for a good long while. It's almost like the gas tank got empty. You fill it up with gas, but there are air pockets in the gas tank. And so as the car begins to, you know, nourish itself on the petrol, it gets those air and almost like it coughs and spurts and you know, sort of backfires. And that's kind of how I feel about the market, that it's getting, its nutrients back. It's getting, you know, some energy back, but there's still some places that are causing it to kind of cough and spit along the way. And I think we're going to see that over the next little while And so don't be surprised if you're in a situation where you've got your house on the market, and one week you've got a bunch of people looking at your house, and then the next week there's nobody. There's no rhyme or reason to that. It's just people who are, out there expressing interest, and I really do believe that's the case. The loan officers I'm talking to are saying more and more people are getting pre-qualified. The listing agents I'm talking to say they're getting more traffic through the property. But as far as it getting down on paper and people actually writing contracts and trying to buy them, it's still going to be that certainty. And, I'll just kind of end the show, with, again, talking about the fact that if you can create certainty in your own situation, then now is the time to move, whether it be as far as you selling a house or as well as buying a house. And let me just give you an example of that. Let's say you're a seller and your house is on the market in a neighborhood that you think you can sell your house fair market value at $350,000. And, maybe a year ago or 2 years ago or 6 years ago, you could have sold it for $400,000. But because the market has dropped off by 15, 18, 20%, the fair market value is now $350,000. And you say, you know what? It's not going to go up much. I'm hearing Michael. He's making sense. I'm going to get my house on the market. But you know what? I need to buy something else. Well, let me just tell you something, folks. If you, put your house on the market for $350,000 or even drop it down below what is fair market value. And let's say you drop it by 10% just for discussion's sake. And you drop that to $315,000. Oh my gosh, Michael, I'm not going to do that. That's $35,000. Well, here's the deal. And it's a very simple thing, but it's something to try on and talk to the real estate agent that you trust and see if it works for you. You take whatever value you want to use, take 10% off of it, and you're going to get your house sold. Because if it's fair market value and you put it on the market for $315 or $320, I'm going to guarantee you, for the most part, that you're going to get a contract on that. But what you want to do is you want to make that contract contingent on you finding the home that you want to buy. And let's say you want to buy a house in the $500,000 range. And you take that same 10% off. You go in and negotiate and say, look, I'm not trying to steal your house, Mr. Seller or Mrs. Seller, but I sold my house for this, and this is all I got to give you. Well, 10% of $500 is $50,000. So you're going to buy that house at $450,000. So the $35,000 loss that you thought you took on your house is actually a net gain, because the fact that if you're moving up to a higher price range, you're going to be able to negotiate that same thing. If you're going down, it's a little bit more difficult, but you still can negotiate the best possible price and negate whatever it is you feel like you're losing. And the point is if you're aggressive with your price, you're going to have an opportunity to have buyers coming into your home. And we're even beginning to see pockets of multiple offers on houses when they're priced right and they're in the right location. So, just keep that in mind. But the most important thing, as I finish this morning, is find certainty for you, not reading the papers and listening to what everybody else is saying, but look at your own situation with a real estate professional, with an accountant, with a real estate attorney, and find certainty for you. Find that this is the right time for you. Do the right things, whether it be buying the house or selling the house. And I think at the end of the day, you're going to find that the decision you made and the transaction you made is one that you'll be happy with for a long time. Hey, my time is up. I thank you for yours. Have a great weekend, and go Hoos.